Heaven, we praise you, we worship you. We thank you for this day that we can come together in this manner before your holy presence. Thank you, Father, for the depth of your love toward us. Thank you for creating us, redeeming us, providing for us, caring for us, and watching over our lives. Thank you that you have not left us to grope in darkness, but you've given us the scriptures to help us to understand your ways, to know how to walk with you. We pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth, that more and more we may know how to live our lives in conformity with your will. We entrust this time to your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 39th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 8th message. And we are now considering how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 5th message. Today, the subtopic, reflections on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Reflections on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The last message, we saw that at the heart of the meaning of moral, spiritual, and of moral, spiritual beauty and stature is the quality of our being. The growth in moral, spiritual, beauty and stature involve development of moral character and quality of our spirit, growing maturity in Christ, and that will result in increasing beauty of the inner man, and this is a true beauty of the being. We noted that there are multi-facets and aspects to moral, spiritual, beauty and stature, and we need to pay attention to all aspects of development of quality of being, to grow up in all aspects in Christ. And any area that is neglected or not developing well will adversely affect the total being. For the same person, the different aspects may not be growing equally well, and different ones of us may have different areas we are weaker in. Today I want to reflect on a passage that can help us anchor and remember several aspects of this important subject of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Who called us by, in the margin, you can see, can also be translated to. Who has called us to His own glory and excellence. Excellence in the margin says, or virtue. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. The word translated moral excellence is the same word translated virtue, or rather excellence in verse 3. In the margin it says, or virtue, is the same word. Verse 5, now for this very reason also, supplying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. and your perseverance, godliness, and your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Peter began the epistle addressing those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, that is, addressing believers. And Peter began by expressing his longing for the well-being of believers. And he tells us well-being and quality of life and being comes from the Lord through knowledge of God and God's provisions. Verses 2 and 4. After the opening addressing the believers, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Grace and peace, of course, as associated with blessings from the Lord, experiencing God's grace and peace and well-being. And Peter says, "Be multiplied to you." He longed that believers may richly experience God's grace and peace, richly blessed by the Lord, well-being. And he says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." That God, through his divine power, has granted to us everything that is helpful for us to attain to the richness and fullness of life and also godliness. This is quality of life and quality of being. Through the true knowledge of him, the Lord himself, who called us by or to his own glory and excellence. So this is God's intention for us. He's calling us to his own glory and excellence of virtue or moral excellence. That God wants us to move in that direction, and he has made provision for us to move in that direction. Every provision. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. What has been revealed in the scriptures includes precious and magnificent promises, and these are also meant to help us in that direction, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That is the goal, that we may become partakers of God's nature. So we see here the Apostle Peter, he began the epistle in this way. He longed for the well-being of believers, and the well-being of believers is tied with the knowledge of God and God's provisions, and this is closely associated with attaining quality of life and being. Point, we see the Apostle Peter then goes on to exhort believers to pay great attention to growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Verse 5 onwards, he says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence." Now for this very reason, links what Peter is about to say to the preceding verses. It's God's intention for us, and Peter's longing that there be well-being, there be quality of life and being, and this rests on God's provision for us and our relationship, our knowledge of God. And Peter doesn't stop there. He goes on to exhort us for this very reason, that is, to attain these things, then we must pay great attention to growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. He says, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, not just diligence, but applying all diligence, to pay a lot of attention, to pay great attention, to be very diligent. In your faith, it has to begin with faith. Faith links us to God, our relationship with God. Faith is also what enables us then to move on, to grow, to continue to receive from the Lord. But we are not to stop at the initial experience of faith. Peter says, in your faith, supply moral excellence. We are to supply moral excellence through diligence. Moral excellence, we know, is at the very heart of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, quality of the inner man, and the following qualities that follow are all various aspects, features, facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Moral excellence, then knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. So, the Apostle Peter exhorts believers to pay a lot of attention to this area of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. God has granted us His promises. He has helped us to come to know Him. We must now concentrate on our growth in the quality of our being in its various aspects. We must nurture moral, spiritual beauty and stature with great diligence. And Peter encourages us further in verse 8. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all want to be useful, we want to be fruitful, so we must pay attention to the nurturing of these qualities. And he says the way to ensure a useful life, a life of fruitfulness, then these qualities must be ours and increasing. So this also tells us that it is not just a once and for all thing. It's meant to be a continuing thing. And these qualities, not just one, all these qualities and increasing. The next point we can see from this passage is that growth, quality of being, well-being, usefulness and fruitfulness, they are all key issues and they are all closely related. These are all areas that believers should be very concerned about. And we need to bear in mind, they are all very closely related. Verses 2 to 4, we have seen just now, the Apostle Peter, he longs for the well-being of the brethren, and he explains to us how this is God's intention for us, and God has already provided everything for us that pertains to richness of life and godliness, including His precious and magnificent promises. He wants us to become partakers of the divine nature. So well-being and growth, these are closely related, because he goes on to tell us that we need then to apply all diligence to supply all these various aspects, to respond well to God. If we want to attain to all these that God intends for us, we need to grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we saw just now in verse 8 that if these are growing, we'll neither be useless nor unfruitful. So all these are closely related. Growth, quality of being, well-being, usefulness and fruitfulness. These are all key issues of the Christian faith, and they are all closely related, bound up together. Next point that we can appreciate from this passage is that all these various key issues and aspects of the Christian faith are also closely associated with our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him. They cannot take place outside of relationship with God and increasing knowledge of God. When Peter began in verse 2, his longing that we experience this richness of life, and grace and peace be multiplied to us, and so on. He says it's in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the well-being comes about in our lives. We experience this in our relationship with God, our knowledge of the Lord, God and Christ Jesus our Lord. And also, God has made all these provisions for us. And he says, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Not only that, he says, through the true knowledge of him. God has not only made every provision for us, but Peter tells us that these provisions that God has made available to us comes through the true knowledge of him, of God. It's not outside of our knowledge of God and relationship with him. And this knowledge of God is not knowledge of God at a distance. Not knowing about God. But this knowledge is linked to true knowledge of God, relationship with God. Increasingly coming to know more of the Lord. This is at the very heart of the meaning of entering more and more into what God intends for us. Richness of life in him, godliness, fullness of life, and all that God intends for us, who called us by his own glory or to his own glory and excellence. So verse 2, we see grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Verse 3, he says all this that God has provided for us is also through the true knowledge of him. And then in verse 8, after mentioning to us how we need to work hard to grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These qualities can be ours and increasing only in the context of true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As these qualities of ours are increasing, so must correspondingly be increasing depth, intimacy, richness of meaning in our relationship with the Lord and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all that God provides for us, all that he intends for us, are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You've seen that in the past in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. They are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All this richness of meaning and quality of life. And we can also say that as these qualities within us are increasing, it also results in the feasibility of increasing depth of meaning, of fellowship, and knowledge of our Lord. They are all bound up together. Next, we can also see clearly in this passage the importance of both God's part and man's part for all these key issues of life, for growth, quality of being, well-being, usefulness, and fruitfulness. Verse 5, Peter wrote, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. So applying all diligence is the human response, the human effort, our part. But Peter begins with, now for this very reason also. Now for this very reason refers to the preceding verses. And the preceding verses, it means in the light of God's intentions for us and his provisions for us. All that God intends for us, his provisions for us, which Peter had already stated in the preceding verses, then he says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence so that we can move in the direction of God's call. Man responding to God and God's provisions and intentions for us. So who is to apply all diligence? Not God, but us. This is addressed to us. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. We are to apply all diligence. We are to supply moral excellence, knowledge, and so on, and grow in all those directions. But it is not the believer on his own. It is by God's grace and enabling. And it is in response to God's call and provisions in the context of our knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, our faith in Him. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and so on. So it is wrong for the believer to wait passively for God to bring it about. That is our growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Yes, it is God's intentions for us. He has made all the provisions for us. But we cannot wait passively for God to bring it about. Neither can we just set our hearts on the desire to grow and we just carry on. We need to bear in mind God's call, His provisions, and respond accordingly. We want true well-being, usefulness, and fruitfulness. We must grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature by responding well to God and His provisions. We can say that this passage here makes this point quite clear. Next, aspect that next point that we can appreciate from this passage, how much we grow and how well the various facets, qualities of moral, spiritual beauty and stature have developed in our being have a direct bearing on how well we fare. And this has eternal implications and our place and meaning in God's eternal kingdom. This passage also points in these directions. After mentioning God's provisions, God's intentions for us in verses 2 to 4, then from verses 5 to 7, Peter tells us how we should respond well to God's call intentions with all diligence, and to grow in these qualities. In verse 8, he says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful." That is, how well we grow and continue to grow, they have a direct bearing on our usefulness, our fruitfulness. That is, it's related to how well we will be faring within ourselves, as well as usefulness, fruitfulness in God's kingdom. He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, not physical, but spiritual blindness. And short-sighted, again, not physical, but from the perspective of God's kingdom. And this is what is really serious if we lack these qualities. Verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." That is, as we continue to respond well to what Peter has written here, and we continue to increase, make progress in the development of these qualities in our being, Peter says that we are actually being diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing us. That is, God has called us, He has chosen us, we are now in His kingdom. But in order for us to make good progress, to ensure the meaning of God's call in our lives, then we must continually move in the direction of what He has been saying in this passage, increasing qualities. We must be diligent. As long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. So our concentration on nurturing these qualities within us is directly related to God's call, that His calling in our lives will not be in vain, and also related to how we enter into eternity. The entrance into the eternal kingdom for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Not just managed to enter, but abundantly supplied to you. This is related to other passages in the scriptures. For example, when the Lord Jesus tells us that He has entrusted different ones with different things, and when He comes, how will we fare? There'll be those whom He reprimands, but there'll be those whom God, whom the Lord Jesus will welcome with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Will God, will the Lord Jesus warmly welcome us into eternity and His eternal kingdom? How we enter into eternity, our place and meaning in eternity, is related to how well we've responded to all these key issues that the Apostle Peter is talking about here. And at the heart of it, a very central issue is the growth in the qualities of the inner man. Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, which would also result in usefulness and fruitfulness while on earth, and also with implications for how we will meet the Lord Jesus when He comes, and how well we fare, how He's pleased with us, and the meaning with which we enter into eternity and God's eternal kingdom. From this passage, we also can see the need to heed the warning in verse 9. The Apostle Peter says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted." We need to heed the warning here that we cannot afford to be lacking in these qualities. And he didn't just mention one quality, he says these qualities. There are various qualities, facets, that we need to nurture and develop. And we fail to develop these qualities, we are being blind or short-sighted. The implication is, whatever we may try to do and achieve would be futile and of no value if you are not paying attention to nurturing the qualities of the inner man and growing in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, because we will then be blind and short-sighted, not seeing things clearly, spiritual blindness, defect in spiritual understanding and perception, perspective, failure to see and appreciate the truth. And yet, there are many Christians who fail to pay sufficient attention to this vital area of life, in spite of many warnings in the scriptures, including what Peter warns us here. Fail to pay sufficient attention to this vital area of life relative to the time, energy, and resources. Many Christians may expand on so many other issues and areas and activities. But the scriptural emphasis is we must pay a lot of attention, great attention, applying all diligence to the nurturing of these qualities. In verse 10, again he says, "Be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you," and that is related to the nurturing of these qualities. However, if we are careful and we are diligent in paying heed to Peter's exhortation, we will be responding well to God's call. And if we pay due attention to the nurturing of these qualities within us and the practicing of these virtues, Peter tells us, we will not stumble. Verse 10. For the Christian, we are concerned that we do not sin against God, we do not go astray. How can we ensure that? Peter tells us in the second part of verse 10, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So if we want to fare well, we do not want to dishonor the Lord, we do not want to sin against God, we do not want to go astray, we do not want to stumble, then we must pay attention to this vital area. And this is not just knowledge. It results in life. Practice these things. These must be worked out. They must be of priority in our lives. We must pay a lot of attention to these areas. Therefore, in verse 10 begins with therefore. Therefore, brethren. Therefore implies we ought. In the light of all that Peter has been saying in the preceding verses, he says, we ought to be more diligent, be all the more diligent. Notice also in this passage, although it's not exhaustive, it does list for us some important facets and aspects of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Some of these facets and aspects are reflected in this passage. One aspect we need to bear in mind, which I mentioned earlier, is that moral, spiritual beauty and stature and quality of being is not just a development of one aspect. There are many qualities. So Peter mentions again and again, even as verse 5 he lists to us a number of these. And verse 8 he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities. There are various qualities. He mentions some of them. One that is very strongly emphasized is the importance of diligence. But as we saw in the last message, we need to bear in mind that the scriptural quality of diligence as a quality of being is not just someone who works very hard. There are many in the world who work very hard in pursuing their own self-interests and in things that are futile. No. Here the quality of diligence is diligence in what matters. That is which of true value in the eyes of God from the perspective of God's kingdom. And these are truly valuable. Verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. It's a response to God. What God intends for us. God's call. In the life, in the direction of life as God intends for us. In the direction of godliness, being partakers of God's divine nature. And also as enumerated here. Applying all diligence in what? In your faith, supply moral excellence. And then knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. All these are things that are of true value. It's diligence in these things. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Again, diligent in what? To make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So, diligent in seeking to know and to work out God's will and intentions for us. What is important in the sight of God? Things that are of true value, true treasures, things that are important in God's kingdom. And then we see also reflected in this passage a very major aspect of growth. Is development of moral character of being. A very fundamental, primary aspect of quality of being is moral character of being. Peter begins Verse 5, for this very reason also applying all diligence in your faith. We begin with faith. And straight away he says, supply moral excellence. In the margin you can see of virtue, positive moral traits and qualities. Moral excellence. And there are various other traits there, that qualities that Peter mentions, that are all related to moral, to the moral dimension, including brotherly kindness, love, godliness. All these you can see in verse 7. And if we look at the other qualities that are mentioned here, including self-control, perseverance, diligence, all these are also qualities that has a moral dimension in it. Why? I'll explain a little more. In this context, it is not just diligence, as I mentioned earlier, just being hardworking. Neither is it just someone who is able to exercise a lot of self-control. In some areas, we know that the people of the world can also discipline themselves, exercise a lot of self-control in various areas in order to excel in certain fields. But in this context, the Apostle Peter is not talking about that kind of self-control. Likewise, perseverance. There are many in this world who can be very persevering to pursue their own goals. But here, Peter is talking about diligence, self-control, perseverance in responding to God's call, in the things that are important in the sight of God, and responding well to what God desires for our lives. This moves me to the next point, that self-control, perseverance, and diligence, these are important virtues of the inner man, but only when it is within the framework of moral excellence and within the framework of God's call, God's intentions for us, God's will, what is in God's heart, what is important in God's kingdom. Within this framework, then self-control, perseverance, diligence are very, very important. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If we want to fare well in the direction of God's calling and to nurture all these qualities and to be useful, fruitful, we must be diligent and we must also exercise self-control. There are various situations where we may feel very provoked to react in a manner that's contrary to God's will and intentions for us. We must exercise self-control, not to respond negatively. The evil one can provoke us directly in many different ways, as well as through situations and through people and so on. There are many things that are difficult, which we know are important. We need to exercise self-control in order to work at these things. Along the way, there are many difficulties, and we need to persevere. The evil one will seek to oppose God's intentions for our lives. In fact, to develop qualities that are of true value, that are depths of real meaning, then the various difficulties, opposition along the way that we seek to overcome are critical. In fact, it is the overcoming of all these difficulties that we will more and more develop the qualities of perseverance, self-control, unceasing diligence. So bear in mind, all this is in response to God's call and His intentions for us, as indicated by the Apostle Peter in verses 2 to 4. And what he mentions also in verse 10. All these in truth, in love, and the heart set on God and His kingdom, and even with an eye to eternity and God's eternal kingdom, verse 11. Bear in mind also that as we exercise diligence, self-control, and as we persevere in the path of truth, in the direction of God's call, our hearts fill with divine love for God and for man, we will also then nurture moral, spiritual strength and stamina. Moral, spiritual strength and stamina are very important qualities of the inner man, and very important aspects that we need to nurture and develop in our being. Important aspects of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And these are nurtured as we continue to be diligent, as we persevere, as we exercise self-control in the midst of difficulties, opposition, temptations, distractions, many ways in which the evil one seeks to distract us, lure us away from the path of truth and God's will for us. As we reject what is of the evil one, as we reject the temptations and the attractions of the world, and continue to persevere and be diligent in the direction of God's call, we will nurture moral, spiritual strength and stamina, including in the context of spiritual warfare, seeking to overcome the evil one. Bear in mind also that as we grow in moral, spiritual strength and stamina, we will become more and more able to exercise diligence, self-control, and more able to persevere in the direction of God's call and God's will. And what is good and right in God's kingdom. So as we move in these directions, we'll continue to grow in the various aspects and features of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, increasingly more the spiritual strength and stamina, which will also affect increasing ability to exercise self-control, perseverance, diligence. And so we continue to grow and develop. Notice also, Peter here emphasizes the importance of knowledge. In verse 5, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Very important, moral excellence. But then, straight away after that, he says, in your moral excellence, knowledge. If we really want to grow, then we must learn to know how to grow well. Knowledge is extremely important, but not knowledge of all kinds of things in this world, but primarily is understanding the truth, what God has revealed, especially in the scriptures, the things of God's kingdom, the importance of knowing what God has revealed, including His assurances and promises that's mentioned in verse 4. God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has provided much for us. He has also granted us precious and magnificent promises. We must know them, exercise faith, walk in them, and learn how to counter the evil one with the truth. Exercise faith in the truth, and we will learn, we will grow. There is much that God has revealed to us. The Lord willing, perhaps another time, I will elaborate more on this. In earlier messages, I've already, to some degree, elaborated on this. Here, at the moment, I will not elaborate more, but just to emphasize that this is extremely important. We want to learn, we want to grow well, we must grow in knowledge. But to realize that this desire for knowledge must be motivated by our desire to grow in moral excellence. This motivation to grow in knowledge must be motivated by the preceding verses. The desire to respond well to God's call and His intentions for us. that we may lay hold of the kind of life God intends for us, including godliness. So bear in mind, the knowledge that Peter talks about is not knowledge in isolation. One is the kind of knowledge and the motivation behind the acquisition of knowledge. We can also see from this passage that we must seek to nurture all virtues and all qualities, every aspect, every facet of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Verses 8 to 10. After mentioning in the preceding verses the various examples of important facets and qualities that we need to nurture, Peter says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing," all of them must be yours and all of them must be increasing, "then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful." Verse 9, he says again, "For he who lacks these qualities," if you are lacking in these qualities or you are lacking in any of them, there would be implications. We must seek to nurture all virtues, all qualities, every aspect, facet of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we must ensure that all these qualities are growing. Verse 8. They are yours and are increasing. Not just say, "Yeah, I have some degree of these qualities." Areas of lack, deal with them. Areas where we have learned something from the Lord, continue to make progress. The direction is in the direction of conformity to the character of God. Verse 3 just now, "who have called us to his own glory and excellence," in the direction of the quality of God's being. Ensure that all these qualities are growing and continually growing, and we are not lacking any of them. If we lack these qualities or lack any of them, we are blind or short-sighted. If we neglect any of them. The next point that we can note, infer from this passage, is that our goal in nurturing the various qualities of moral, spiritual, beauty and stature is to become increasingly conformed to the moral, spiritual, beauty and stature of God's being, and be partakers of God's divine nature. This is God's will for us. We've seen earlier messages how the Lord Jesus says we are to be perfect as God is perfect in this aspect of quality of being, moral, spiritual qualities of being, conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29, and also how Paul has told us in Ephesians 4, verse 13, that we are to grow unto maturity in Christ, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Here, Peter tells us the same thing. The direction is in the direction of God's desires for us. He has granted to us, verse 3, everything pertaining to life and godliness. And he wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. Verse 4. Verse 3, I mentioned just now. Let's look at verse 3. "Seeing that his divine nature has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." I mentioned just now that "by" can also be translated "to" in the margin, or "to." And his own glory and excellence, the margin there is "or virtue." And I mentioned this word translated "excellence" is the same word that's translated "moral excellence" in verse 5. That is, verse 3 can also be translated to mean that God is calling us to his own glory and virtues or moral excellence. That's the direction of God's call. He wants us to move in that direction. That is, He's calling us to become more and more like Him in the qualities of our being and to reflect His glory. We are created in the image of God, and it's God's intention for us to grow and become increasingly like God in His being and reflecting His glory in the qualities of our being. I'll now go through quickly this passage with brief comments. Verse 1, Peter introduces himself as a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing to those who have received a faith of the same kind, to believers, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, reminding us that it is not because of our own merit, our works, but we have received faith, and this is because of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter straightway launches into the main concerns of his heart. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His longing that we experience increasingly God's grace and peace, well-being, be multiplied to you. And this is in the knowledge of God, related, linked to our knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, and with the Lord Jesus. Seeing that, His divine power, Peter knows that God, through His divine power, He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This is what God has provided for us. Everything that is needful for the fullness of life. The Lord Jesus says, He has come that we may have abundant life. God wants us to move in the direction of godliness. He has provided all this for us. But this is through the true knowledge of Him. Through true knowledge of God. Our knowledge of God, increasing knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, who has called us by or through His own glory in the direction of His glory and moral excellence and virtues of God's being. He wants us to move in that direction to the full development of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, maturity, full maturity in Christ. And He continues, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, which, that is, God's provision includes the precious and magnificent promises He has granted to us, and these are revealed to us in the Scriptures. And by these, as we respond well, we can become increasingly partakers of God's divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust, this is the contrast. The corruption that is in the world by lust. Instead, we are to move in the direction of godliness, holiness, conformed to God's character. And in the light of all that God has provided, intended, verse 5, now for this very reason, then we are to be very diligent, applying all diligence in our faith. Beginning with faith, we must then supply moral excellence. Moral, spiritual beauty and stature, a very major aspect. Moral character, moral excellence. And in our moral excellence, knowledge. The importance of knowledge, motivated by our desire to respond well to God's call, knowledge of what God has revealed, and God's intentions, God's ways, and how we can move well in this direction. Knowledge, extremely important. As we desire to grow morally, as we know, we must also then exercise self-control, and we must nurture and develop this quality. Then we can develop well, and we must persevere whatever the difficulties, the opposition, and these are also qualities we need to nurture. And as we nurture, work hard in all these areas, together with desire for moral excellence and in the light of knowledge, we will more and more be able to nurture godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is kindness towards the brethren. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Love is more encompassing, that reaches even beyond the brethren to all people. And if these qualities are yours, we must have these qualities and increasing. We must pay attention to these qualities, more and more they are ours, and increasing. Then we will not be useless nor unfruitful. And this goes together with true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's true knowledge of the Lord Jesus in our hearts, increasingly so, we will be more and more be increasing in these qualities. And these qualities are also developed. And usefulness, fruitfulness, all this take place in increasingly deepening knowledge of our Lord, as all these are found in Him and in our relationship with Him, as we abide in Him and He in us. These qualities are extremely important. Verse 9, if we lack them, we are blind, short-sighted. We have forgotten our purification from our former sins. When we turn to the Lord, it's repentance, which means we are turning away from all this former manner of life, the sins, darkness, which means we have turned to God. We have set our heart on the path of growth, to become more and more like God, to follow Him, to grow in these qualities. And if we are not nurturing these qualities, it's actually inconsistent with our profession of faith and repentance at the point of conversion. It is the same path, the same direction as when we first trusted the Lord and turning away from our former way of life and sins. And so therefore, brethren, we must be all the more diligent in these ways, in these directions, so that we'll make certain, we ensure that what God has called us to be and to do, all this will become increasingly realized in our lives. Verse 10, and we will not stumble as we continue to work out these truths in our lives, as we practice these things. And we can also be ensured that the way we enter into eternity and God's eternal kingdom, the Lord will welcome us. The entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to us, not just scraping through. Our place in eternity, our meaning in eternity, the way in which we enter into God's presence and our relationship with Him, all these are vitally related to how we respond to all these key issues, especially growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, how these are growing in our lives, which will then result in usefulness, fruitfulness, and bound up together with deep and growing relationship with God and all that can be found in the Lord Jesus. The importance of what Peter is saying in this passage is also underlined by the verses that follow, verses 12 to 15. I will try to go through rather quickly. I have still a number of things to communicate. Verses 12 to 15, Peter continues, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. This emphasizes the importance of this thing. He will always be ready to remind you, wants to keep reminding them, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. These are so important. I will always be ready to remind you. Verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you by way of reminder. This is so important. And even more so, Peter says, he's conscious he's about to depart from this earth, and at such a time, Peter wants to emphasize the things that are really important in his heart that he wants to communicate to the brethren. Verse 14, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, he's about to die, he's about to depart. The Lord Jesus made this clear to him. Verse 14, the second part. And I will also be diligent that any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. So all these verses emphasizes that these things are so important to the Apostle Peter in his heart. Very important. He wants to ensure that the believers lay hold of them, will not forget them, even after he departs. Let us not be blind nor short-sighted. Let us pay heed. These are very important things. I will now quickly seek to appreciate this whole passage, verses 1 to 11, and these things that Peter is talking about in relation to the rest of the epistle. You'll see that this is actually a very major theme in the whole epistle. These things that he talks about in verses 1 to 11. And especially the qualities of the inner man. The quality of being. Growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Very quickly, verses 16 to 21. Peter is telling us that the foundational basis of his testimony, what he has been saying, that all these are grounded in reality and not in cleverly devised tales. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales, we make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, and so on. He says all these are reliable things, it's the grounding. Because all these things he talks about has to be grounded in the reality of Christ and his coming. And he says that these are not devised tales. We are eyewitnesses of his majesty. This likely to be a reference to the transfiguration when they beheld the majestic glory and God's testimony. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. These are the words uttered at the transfiguration. Yes, he mentions here, we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. The transfiguration experience. The prophetic word. And he mentions about how prophecy of scripture, not a matter of one's interpretation, but the Holy Spirit, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So these things he talks about, they are grounded in things that God has revealed, and he has witnessed them. They are grounded in truth and reality. Then he goes on to chapter 2. We can appreciate chapter 2 in this way, the whole chapter. That the positive attitude, character and qualities of being that Peter emphasizes in chapter 1, especially verses 1 to 11, that believers must nurture, that these are in direct contrast to those of the false prophets, false teachers and sinful, wicked people mentioned in chapter 2. The whole of chapter 2 is devoted to this. And Peter warns believers not to be led astray by their wrong teaching and way of life. He first emphasizes the positive in chapter 1 and the first 11 verses. Now he warns us not to move away from this. And he says false prophets, false teachers, all these, they will arise, there will be destructive heresies in contrast to the true knowledge and what God has revealed. And these will bring about our destruction if we follow them. And many will follow the sensuality. And if you read what is described, all these are in direct contrast to the positive qualities, sensuality and so on. Way of truth will be maligned. Greed, verse 3. False words in contrast to true knowledge. And all this moves in the direction of destruction, opposite of what he's talking about, eternal kingdom of God, entrance abundantly supplied to us. And Peter also referred to how God also dealt with all these angels who fell away, and many of these are also behind all these false teachers and false teaching. But God's judgment on the angels, just as he also judged and condemned Sodom and Gomorrah, but he preserved Noah, verse 5. Verse 6, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed, but he rescued righteous Lot. And as we go on to the whole of chapter 2, he's talking about these things to warn us not to move in the direction of the false teachers, false prophets, and the way of the fallen angels, the evil spirits. They are trying to lead us astray, away from God's intentions for us, God's high calling for us. And if we move in that direction, we will be destroyed. These are the unrighteous ones, verse 9. And they indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. All these we see are in direct contrast. I will not go into all the details. You can read for yourselves. Just quickly mention a few things. Verse 14, eyes full of adultery, enticing unstable souls, heart training greed, accursed brethren, forsaking the right way, verse 15. Followed the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 17, springs without water, mist driven by a storm. Verse 18, the enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escaped from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom. These are false, not true, not in accordance with true knowledge. All trying to lure us away from the path that God intends for us and the way of God's kingdom. This brings us to chapter 3. And chapter 3 can be appreciated from this angle. That all that the Apostle Peter has been telling us in verses 1 to 11, the passage we are considering today, and what God intends for us, growth in qualities and so on, that these things that we need to concentrate upon is how we are to prepare for and be ready for the second coming of Christ. We can appreciate chapter 3 from this angle. Chapter 3 tells us that the coming of Christ is true, is genuine, it will take place. And how are we to be ready? Peter says, the second letter I'm writing to you, stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Remember the words spoken beforehand. Then he says, know this. The last days, mockers will come and they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? There'll be those who will try to lead you astray. No, 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 it's not true. Things just carry on. It's not coming. But Peter says, it will come. Just as in the past, by the word of God, the heavens existed. He says, the present world, the present heavens and earth, they are reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction. God is patient. He does not want any to perish but to come to repentance. But that does not mean the second coming will not take place. The present earth and heaven will not be destroyed. It will. Verse 7, the day of the Lord will come. And the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. The heavens will pass away. Verse 10. All these things will be destroyed. And then he tells us, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So this is a key issue. The Lord's coming will take place. Eternal kingdom, eternity will come about. How are we to be ready? What sort of people ought you to be? Is in holy conduct and godliness. And this is what he has been telling us in verses 1 to 11. This is how we are to be ready. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. We are looking forward to the second coming, where the heavens will be destroyed. But how are we to look forward? First, bear in mind, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The moral dimension, righteousness. This will be a key issue in the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. How can we be ready for the second coming and for eternity in which righteousness dwells? We must be diligent to be found by him when he comes in peace, spotless and blameless. Same as what he has been telling us in verses 1 to 11 of chapter 1. Be diligent to nurture these qualities within us so that when he comes, we'll be ready. Yes, the second coming, not yet, but regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved Paul, according to wisdom given him, wrote to you. God wants us to grow with respect to salvation and the fullness of salvation he intends for us and for many others to come into the kingdom of God. The whole of the scriptures is meant to help us in these directions. This is what Peter is talking about. This is also what Paul, according to wisdom given him, wrote to us in his letters. Same direction. But there are those who are there are things that are difficult to understand, and there are those who are unstable, and they will distort the truth in the scriptures to their own destruction. A warning to us to pay heed and to understand the scriptures accurately and pay attention to what the scriptures emphasizes. And as you've seen, what Peter emphasizes in chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, these are some of the key issues and aspects that's emphasized, and Paul also write about these things in the same direction. And finally, the Apostle Peter ends the epistle with a warning not to go astray. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from your own steadfastness." We saw just now the same warning, not to be lacking in these qualities, blind or short-sighted. And he warns us in chapter 2 about the false prophets, false teachers, and not to be led astray. And finally, in the closing of the epistle, he tells us again, be on your guard. Concentrate on these important things that he has been talking about. Do not be led astray by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from your steadfastness. We must continually be diligent, steadfast, persevere in the path of God's calling as he has laid out for us. And he concludes the whole epistle with this exhortation to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To grow in the grace that is experiencing more and more, increasingly, God's grace in our lives. And also, we can look at this from the angle of our own growth. We are to grow in the grace that is more and more God's grace in our being, that we also becoming more and more gracious. As we experience God's grace, we also become conformed to the image of God, and the gracious Spirit working in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives, the Spirit of grace, we also becoming, having these qualities within us. Grow in the grace and knowledge, increasing knowledge of God, knowing Him, as well as the depth of our relationship with Him. These are also key aspects of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And so we can say that the Apostle Peter has come full circle in his epistle. He begins with exhortation to believers to grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and he ends the epistle with exhortation in the same direction. I'll conclude today's message and our consideration of this passage, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, with this observation that we can appreciate the whole epistle of Peter from this angle. That Peter is, in this whole epistle, he's trying to impress upon believers the supreme importance of nurturing positive qualities of the inner man and growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. It is the basis for personal well-being, quality of being, usefulness and fruitfulness. It is bound up with our knowledge of God and relationship with Him. It is God's intention and calling for us who are His children. It is feasible because of God's promises and provisions and what He has revealed. We must pay great attention to and exercise all diligence in this direction continually, developing all the qualities, facets, and aspects. We must not be spiritually blind, short-sighted, or be led astray from this path by false prophets, false teachers, false teachings, and by sinful, wicked people. This is critical for readiness for the second coming of Christ, which will take place, and also for eternity in God's kingdom. that this is critical is a reference to what I mentioned at the beginning, that Peter is impressing upon believers the supreme importance of nurturing these positive qualities of the inner man and growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We'll stop here for today, and let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on God's grace and goodness, His kind intention toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His provisions for us. Christ not only died for our sins, He also rose again from the dead, has poured forth the Holy Spirit, and His intention is that we have abundant life. This takes place as we move in the direction of increasing development of the qualities of the inner man, the qualities of our being, growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. There are many facets to it. We must set our hearts on these things, be diligent, persevering, exercise self-control, also seek to grow in knowledge of how we can move well in that direction, growing knowledge of God and His ways, what He has done, provided for us, to grow in godliness, nurture brotherly kindness and love. Let us pay heed to the warning not to be led astray by wrong teaching, nor be led astray into indulging the desires of the flesh, for that is the way of destruction, that is contrary to God's call. Let us together look to the Lord that He will help us to pay heed and to be diligent, to concentrate on His calling, His intentions for us, and the nurturing of these qualities of the inner man, so that we will be ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus and be ready for eternity in God's eternal kingdom. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the depth of Your love toward us. Thank You for creating us in Your image. Thank You for redeeming us. Thank You that in Your love You reach out to us while we are walking in darkness. Thank You that You have not only washed away our sins, but it's Your intention for us to rise up to Your high calling, be more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow unto full maturity in Him, that in Him we may have fullness of life, deep relationship with You and with all those who love You. Father, we thank You for all the provisions You have made for us and all that we can have and find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us that we will not be short-sighted, nor blind, nor careless, nor negligent, but that we may pay due attention to what You revealed and Your intentions for us. Thank You for the exhortation of the Apostle Peter, and we ask that You will help us, that we may indeed know how to pay great attention, exercise all diligence in seeking to nurture the qualities of the inner man, and that more and more we will be useful and fruitful in Your service, in Your kingdom, and more be able to be ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus and ready for eternity in Your eternal kingdom. Thank You for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that You will wash away our sins, help us to put right whatever needs to be put right in our lives, that we will not partake in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.